Now, what does this cry, you know, the fifth word is, I am thirsty, or I thirst. What does this cry signify? Some people say that I am thirsty merely shows the humanity of Jesus. The church has always understood Jesus to be 100% God and at the same time 100% human being. Jesus is God's word that became flesh. Yes, that is true, but there is more to this cry. Jesus did feel physical thirst, but this cry had a spiritual dimension. It is similar to the cry of Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul longs for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. It's Jesus' longing for the Father. His previous word on the cross was, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus at the time felt abandoned by the Father, and he longed for his presence. His longing for the Father was as intense as his thirst. Before his death, Jesus told his disciples that he was going back to the Father, since he came from the Father. He knew that his suffering on the cross was the means by which he would get back to the Father. And Jesus knew that everything is now finished. He had accomplished his mission, and he would soon be with his Father. So I thirst can be understood as his longing for the Father whom he will soon meet. That's true, but I believe there is even more. There's more to this cry. He says, I am thirsty, because he knows that all scriptures had been fulfilled. Verse 28 says, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. You know, some commentators say that Jesus said, I am thirsty, to fulfill two prophecies in the Psalms. One is Psalm 22, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Another psalm that commentators quote is Psalm 69. You know how I am scorned, disgraced, and shamed. All my enemies are before you. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. But Psalm 69 points to an earlier time vinegar was offered to Jesus on the cross, and that was rejected by Jesus. Matthew 27 says, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Vinegar mixed with gall was like a drug. It was meant to lessen the pain of people hung on the cross. But Jesus refused to take this painkiller because he wanted to bear the cross with a clear conscience. So Psalm 22 is the more fitting prophecy for the thirst of Jesus on the cross. And one of the effects of the cross is that you have an overpowering sense of thirst because you are losing body fluids through open wounds and because of your perspiration. But I don't think Jesus said, I am thirsty, to fulfill this obscure prophecy in one of the Psalms. There's another way to look at verse 28. There is a different way to translate verse 28. Knowing that everything had now been finished and that scripture had been fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. Jesus knew that he would die soon. He knew that all things for salvation had been achieved. and that all Scripture had been fulfilled in his own sacrifice. Until then, Jesus had been so focused on achieving God's mission that he didn't really look after his own needs. But now the mission's completed. Maybe he feels his thirst, and he can look after his own need. "I am thirsty" is the request of the Son, who knew that he had finished his mission. Only then he would accept a drink. The Roman soldiers gave him wine, vinegar, and this was different from wine mixed with gall, or vinegar mixed with gall. The wine vinegar was a drink that the soldiers carried with them, and was more like water mixed with a little bit of wine and a little bit of vinegar. And it was for refreshment of the soldiers. And the vinegar was added to keep the water from going bad in hot weather. And we know from the next verse that Jesus did accept this drink. And the soldiers offered this drink not to mock Jesus, but out of their humane concern. But it was also the Father's response to the request, a simple request from the Son. "Father, I am thirsty." And Jesus gives him a drink. The Father gives him a drink for the Son. And that was a sign that the Father had not abandoned Jesus Christ. So far, the cry of "I thirst" signify Jesus' longing for the Father and his completion of mission. But there may be even more to this cry. It may signify the complete giving or complete outpouring of himself for others. To make a good wine, the wines have to be plucked. The grapes have to be plucked, and they have to be pressed and crushed. In order for olives to give oil, they have to be pressed and crushed. And Jesus was crushed. He was pressed. And his life was poured out like wine. Before the crucifixion, Jesus prayed at a place called Gethsemane. And that was on Mount Olive. So, you know, it must have been a mountain with lots of olive trees. And Gethsemane means oil press. So that was a place where, you know, the farmers, they picked olives and they pressed olives. They crushed and pressed olives to drain the oil from the fruit. And that was what was happening to Jesus as he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was what's happening to Jesus as he was hung on the cross. He was thirsty because he was being crushed. He was being pressed. And physically, crucifixion presses water out of your body. But his suffering is also spiritual. Jesus is being pressed by the weight of our sin. He is being crushed by the wrath of God. And his life is being squeezed out of him. His mouth is dried up and his tongue sticks to the roof of his mouth. He's thirsty because he was pouring out his life to death. And that's the expression that Isaiah uses in his prophecy about the Messiah, chapter 53. "He poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors." In the Old Testament, animals were sacrificed in place of a human being, in place of a sinner. The sins committed by a human being would be transferred to the animal, and the animal would die in the sinner's place. And on the cross, all of humanity's sins were placed on Jesus Christ. And under the weight of our sin and under the weight of God's wrath, Jesus was pressed and he was crushed. And the Bible tells us that his side was pierced, and water and blood spilled out of his body. He gave all of himself for us. He poured out his life to the very last drop, so that we would not perish, but live. And this pouring of life is the self-emptying of Christ in Philippians chapter 2. Christ totally poured out himself for us, becoming human, living a humble life as a servant, and dying on the cross. And that is also the model for our ministry. This is what we are called to do as followers, as children of God. Christian service is the outpouring of our life for God and for other people. It is the giving of ourselves for the sake of the other, just as Jesus has given himself for us completely. And this kind of outpouring is also what it takes for us to make a disciple. For another person, we pour out our life. We give ourselves. We give our time, our attention, our prayers, our resources, so that that person can know and grow in Christ. And in order for us to give to the other person, we need to receive the life from Jesus. And Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. And one way to receive the gift of life from Jesus is for the believers to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Jesus said in John chapter 6, "Amen, amen. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Of course, it's not the physical eating of the body of Christ, it's the spiritual feeding of eternal life that Jesus provides for us. So today, let us come to the table to receive the gift of life from Jesus the Messiah. Let us pray. Father, we know that you are here with us, for you promised when two or three are gathered in your name that you would be there with them. So, Lord, we believe and know that you are here with us. Lord, would you quiet our souls? Would you help us to be still and know that you are God? Lord, we pray Psalm 27. "One thing we seek, one thing we ask, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives, and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and seek him in his temple." Lord, we want to see you. We want to touch you. Father, would you reveal yourself to us? In your Son's name, amen.